I'm going to talk to you this month about prosperity. Prosperity. And again, there's so much more to unpack, and we're going to grow together, and we're going to understand better. But I guarantee you someone along the way has messed this word up for you. Someone has perverted or twisted this concept in your mind or in your heart. You may have an idea in your mind about what this means, and if your idea is associated with Christian television, you probably have the wrong idea. If your idea about what prosperity is just what the TV preacher says, it's probably going to be a negative connotation about what prosperity is. But trust me today, I believe you're going to believe this as well. This prosperity is God's idea. It's God's will, and it is God's plan. And let me just kind of hang my hat right here today. God is not opposed to prosperity. He is opposed to misaligned prosperity. God is not opposed to prosperity. He's opposed to misaligned prosperity. And I believe that will become more clear as we spend these next few Sundays together. And so I want you to get here if you possibly can. If you are aligned with this house, then this word is for you. And this is the word that God is speaking. I don't know what other pastors are saying. I don't know what other preachers are saying. I don't poll them, I don't ask them, I don't go check to find out what they're talking about. I'm going to talk about and say what I feel like God is saying to us and what God has for us. And so I would love for you to invite someone, several someones, get your friends and your family. They need to feel and know what God is doing in your life and to experience it for themselves. Amen. Anybody ready to go on this journey with us? I believe God's going to help us. I believe God's going to help us. But if there is foundation, and we'll use this this text throughout the series, 3 John 1 and 2, this little small book, 3 John. It's not even a full page in my Bible. 3 John, just a small offering, the third book of John. But here's what he says in chapter 1, only one chapter, and verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Someone say all things. Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Prosper in all things. This is my prayer for you, John said. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I'm so tempted to get ahead of myself, but this verse is rich to me, and I want to build on this, and I want to build from this so that you and I can prosper as we step into a new year. Many people are praying for prosperity. They may not be using that exact word, but that's the word. They say things like, Happy New Year. Here's to health. I'm sending good vibes. I'm wishing you the best. All of that is prosperity. All of that is a wish and a prayer and a desire for prosperity. And that's great. Truly, that is great. That is a beautiful thing. We pray for financial prosperity. We pray for physical health. We pray for open doors of opportunity. We pray for prosperity. I'm probably going to challenge you in this series, and I'm going to ask God to prosper you in areas and in ways that you likely have not thought of. John said it, I would that you would prosper in all things. We jump to the financial things because prosperity has always been tied to finances. It's always been connected to an offering. And that's why this is controversial or potentially so, because someone has used that word and made it all about money, and it's become a turnoff for us. And I want you to relax, because this is not a money series. It's a series about prosperity. It just so happens that prosperity may include your money. Someone asked, is this a prosperity church? Well, it's not a poverty church. I'd rather have one than the other. I don't know about you, but count me on the side of prosperity if you're counting. But I love what John does. John sets divine order. And that's why it's so important for us to start here, to begin here, as we start into our sacred season. John is speaking about this divine order. He's telling us to take time to adjust our misaligned prosperity. The ways and the areas where our lives have gotten out of balance, and we've started seeking more of this when we need to be seeking more of that, where we've just gotten misaligned in our spirit and in our heart. And this is why. It's because prosperity begins in the soul. Prosperity doesn't begin in the checkbook. Prosperity doesn't begin in your wallet. It doesn't begin at your business office. Prosperity begins in the soul. And I'll say it again. God is not opposed to prosperity. He is opposed to misaligned prosperity. His design is that our external increase never outruns our internal devotion. I'm going to say that again, because somebody's taking notes and you need time to process that. His will, his design is that our external increase never outpaces, never outruns our internal devotion. Explain that, Pastor Darrell. I will. The external, or the things that we focus entirely too much on, that's the stuff. We focus on the stuff. The internal, or what we spend far too little time focusing on, that is the sacred. So the question for 2026 is not merely will I prosper, but rather will I prosper in sacred things? Will I advance my relationship with God? Will I pursue the things of God in my life? Will I reach for God? Not reach for more stuff. Not reach for raises and better this and better that. I'm not against any of that. But will I put my priority? Will I set those things right? Will I make sure that my everything is aligned toward the things of God? Will I prosper in sacred things? That's what I want to talk to you about for just a few minutes today. Prosper in sacred things. It's where we need to be today. And I feel like I'm probably a little out of order in this series. I probably would have built up to this, but then again, it makes sense, because prosperity begins in the soul. Let me just remind you what John said, 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You see, what John does, John connects the outward blessing to inward formation. Remember, all external and no internal, all stuff and no sacred will not last. If you get all, the old people, you say he's all hat and no cattle. In other words, looks the part, but there's nothing down deep. I don't want to just look the part of Christianity. I don't want to just look the part of worshiper. I mean, if you can tap your foot on beat, In 2026, they'll put you in one of these choirs and start traveling you around the country. No, is there something running deep in? Is it out of my belly there are rivers of living water? Or do I just know how to clap on the two and the four? Where is it? There is a connection to between the external and the internal. The outward and the inward, they are connected. There is divine order. And whatever is happening on the outside should be the outflow of what's happening on the inside. I think we've got this reversed. I talked to somebody just the other day, not a part of this church, so don't be looking around, but I just talked to somebody that said, man, if God will get me out of this mess and if God will get me out of this trouble, they're in a major marital crisis and facing divorce and all. If God will fix this, man, I'm going to serve him. And I had to be a good friend and say, you know what? If you would serve him, he might fix all of that. And I'm not saying divorce doesn't happen when you are fully serving the Lord. Please don't feel any condemnation, because I know all too well how great the struggle is for many, many people. And sometimes it just can't be fixed, because it takes two people to fix something and not just one who is willing. That's a whole nother series and message. But sometimes we get it way out. We get it all flipped around, and we start seeking the external without giving proper time to the internal. God says it's a problem. It's a problem. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So you got to know this first point: prosperity begins with a prosperous soul. Prosperity begins with a prosperous soul. What's happening on the outside is the result of what is happening on the inside. And just think on this for a moment, because I don't want to rush past this. How many people do you know who have this backwards? And I'm not inviting you to judge them. I'm just inviting you to observe. I'm not inviting you to correct them. I'm just inviting you to learn from them. That's not the way I want to live my life. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to get this backward, just attaching and adorning and getting the external looking this, that, or the other. But I don't have the internal right. Because John is telling us that the soul is the control center of the believer. Everything begins there. Everything flows out from there. Our mind, our will, our affections, our devotion, all of it comes from the soul. And hear me, if the soul is neglected, success becomes dangerous. The raise, the better job will actually hurt you if the soul is neglected. More money will actually be a detriment in your life if the soul is not prospered properly. But conversely, if the soul is nurtured, then success becomes stewardship. Then God says, you know what? Because you are anchored, because your soul is anchored, because you are aligned properly, I can bless you. I can add more to your life, because I know you're not going to twist this. I know you're not going to pervert. I know you're not going to lose what is paramount and what is just right in your life. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help our soul to prosper. Because if I were to ask, you might be a little hesitant just a few minutes into this message, but if I would ask at the outset, how many of you want more money in 2026? Ooh. How many of you are willing to pay the price in 2026? Ooh. Y'all know I'm not the only one up here honest. The truth. We want more stuff. We want more stuff, but we do not want more sacred. We want more stuff, but do we want more sacred? You see, what I've learned is you can have money and still be poor in peace. I'm ready for 2026. Y'all better come on. You can have influence and be bankrupt in intimacy with God. You can have all these people that answer to your directive 5 days a week at work. You, the supervisor. But when you close the door to your office, there is something so miserable in you, because people are following somebody who's not following someone. Thank you, Lord. And eventually, we all end up in a ditch. Prospering in sacred things means soul alignment before lifestyle advancement. Prospering in sacred things. Soul alignment before lifestyle advancement. I want to read this. I'm just going to read all the verses because it's powerful, and maybe while you're in devotions this week or reading in your sacred season, you can spend some time in Mark 14. It's the woman who came to worship Jesus and broke the alabaster box. Verse 3. Mark 14, while he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, Why this waste of perfume? Could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. She's in the middle of a worship moment, and they are rebuking her harshly. She's giving her best gift, and someone is criticizing her in the act. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, verse 6, begins responding, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. This wasn't for you in the first place. She doing this to me. The poor you will have, will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." And she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus prophesied this woman's gonna be talked about 2,025 years later. Gonna be a preacher on the first Sunday of 2026, Covington, Georgia. Somebody's gonna be telling this woman's story of how powerful, how poignant, how right this moment was. This woman comes to Jesus with something valuable, something costly, something sacred. By all accounts, even what Mark is detailing for us here, her detractors, her critics were saying, "Hey, this could be sold. We know the value of this. This is worth, this represents a year's wages." Which means this is her future security. This is her reputation is attached to this. She walks into the bank and they know who she is because they know what she has. They know what's in the safe deposit box. They know what belongs to her. It's her inheritance. She didn't measure it. She broke it. She didn't post about it. She broke it. She didn't turn it into a bag to carry or a car to drive. She broke it before the Lord. Because prospering in sacred things means that you know who is worthy of your best. I wonder, do we know that as we begin this year? Do we know who is worthy of our best? She didn't pour out leftovers. She didn't negotiate worship. She didn't preserve her comfort. She poured out what was precious. Sign me up, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way I want to live my life. That's the direction I want my soul to be pointed in. Am I going to get it right every week of 2026? Probably not. Am I going to be on every Sunday of this year? Probably not. But man, that's the direction I am aiming my life, so that I can put one foot in front of the other and keep walking toward this goal. She didn't measure it, she broke it. That's so profound to me. But it leads us to point two: when the soul is prosperous, worship becomes extravagant. When you get your soul aligned with God's purpose and God's plan, then worship becomes extravagant. There were those, Mark said, that they were indignant. They were angry. They were upset. They were offended by her worship. Why this way? This is wasteful. This energy could have been used for something else. This energy could have been used to do so many other things. Why are you wasting like this? You know why? Because sacred devotion often looks wasteful to practical minds. You need to hear me. There are some people in your life that are never going to understand why you live a sold-out life to God. And the longer their opinions and their criticisms matter to you, the longer you will be frustrated with trying to please them, and you're never going to please them. I give you the gift of goodbye on this first Sunday of 2026. Just wave. If you see them at the Piggly Wiggly, I love you. Good to see you. God bless you. But I'm going to go on over here and break this box over the feet of the Lord. I'm going to go bless him and worship him and praise him and live my life for him. Judas evaluated worship through utility. I could break this. We could take this box and do so much with it. We know Judas held the bag. We also know Judas was a crook. You got to check the motives of people in your life. Got to check the motives of people you do business with. Another series, another time. Jesus evaluates worship through devotion. It's very likely you and I we can expect to disappoint people this year, because they'll never understand our devotion. And again, I'm not putting us above them. That's not what this is about. I feel like I'm dragging some dead weight always. I feel like I'm always trying to bring some old attitudes that have been attached for so long, some old thinking that's been attached for so long. No, I got to leave that behind and be sold out to God and be released of what people think. That's why Jesus responded, "Why are you bothering her? Why are you bothering her? She has done this beautiful thing to me." When your soul is prospering, you stop asking, "Is this reasonable?" Your worship is never going to seem reasonable. The time you spend in God's house, serving God's house, what you give to God's house, it's never going to seem reasonable to anyone. But when your soul is prospering, you stop asking, "Is this reasonable?" and start asking, "Is this worthy of him?" Why I say don't bother me in 2026. I don't mean y'all. I mean the haters. I want some haters in 2026. People always tell me, I got these haters. I don't think anybody hates me. I just live my life thinking everybody loves me. Man, it just makes everything so much better. Oh, but Pastor, you do. I know y'all got text messages running around. Y'all keep texting. I'm going to be right up here doing what I do every single Sunday. Gotcha. Don't bother me. Let me live for God. Let me worship God. Let me give what I want to give. Let me thrive in His presence. Let me do what God has asked me to do and called me to do, because I plan to prosper in all things, but it begins in my soul. Anybody else want to prosper in sacred things? Here's the third point. Prosperity that touches heaven leaves a fragrance on earth. So powerful to me. John 12:3, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Because true prosperity, true spiritual prosperity is never private. It affects the atmosphere. It's never private. It always changes something. At Christmas Eve, we were in Texas, and first year in many, many years that all of our family, every cousin, my mom has two sisters, my mom, three kids, her sister, two kids, her other sister, one child. So all of the cousins, their kid, everybody was together, 28 or 29, maybe 30 of us in the room. And at some point during all the festivities, it was so much fun, but at some point somebody said, oh, y'all, tonight is the Powerball. It's $1.8 million. The what? The Powerball, one point. And they start shutting games down because we got to stop by the stove to grab a ticket. So, of course, that turned into a conversation. Well, if you won, would you tell anybody? If you won, would you share it with anybody? They start making negotiations, side deals, and I had to think about this. If I won this, I'd keep it private, but there would be signs. Y'all be looking at me wondering, did something happen? What has changed? There would be signs. When you get prosperity that touches heaven, it leaves a fragrance. It changes the atmosphere. There will be signs that you've been in the presence of the Lord. There will be signs that your soul is aligned with God. When your worship is sincere, environments change. When devotion is genuine, other people are impacted. I wonder, do you believe that? Because I need you to understand in 2026 that all of our worship every Sunday, and it's powerful, it's incredible. I love that new song today, Team, beautiful song. And when we worship, it's not just about us feeling better. It's not just about us receiving what we want and desire from God. And that's great and that's good, but it's about other people being changed. When our worship is sincere, other people are being helped. Other people are being blessed. I've talked about this before, but I think it needs to become even more of a thing in 2026 for us. Intercessory worship. Lord, I got some needs, but I know where to find you tomorrow. I'll get back to you about me Monday morning. But Lord, all my worship right now, any benefit, any good thing that would come from my praise, Lord, I want you to give it to her. I don't even know her name, Lord. I don't know. I just feel drawn, and I want you to pour out every blessing you might would have bestowed on me with my hands lifted and my hallelujah raised. I want you to pour out every blessing. I want you to pour out the fragrance on his life, on that couple, Lord. I don't know if they're struggling. I don't know if they're in the middle of a mess, but Lord, would you pour out blessing on them? I'll come for mine in devotion this week, Lord. I know you won't leave me undone, but God, today I want them to feel what they need to feel. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want them to experience your power and your presence. I want them to feel, to smell the kind of fragrance of prosperity that touches heaven. Because a prosperous soul produces a fragrance, not noise. This is not noise. Not noise. I'm passionate about this. I'm serious about this. I go to churches all the time, and I'm not judging. I'm not. God sends me a lot of places to help, and I'm going to be a help. But I go places, and I see so much energy on the platform, and I see no movement in the congregation. I hear lots of noise on the stage, but I don't hear any sacred among the people. There's a disconnect. And God, being my help in 2026, that will not be our plight. Because it's not about noise. It's not about sounding brass or tinkling cymbals. It's about the fragrance of God's presence. The fragrance. A surrendered life fills rooms long after words fade. Her fragrance changed eternity. That's what I mentioned a moment ago. Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached. That's what this single act of worship did. It changed eternity. Because what is poured out for Christ is never wasted. It's remembered. What she did was remembered. I want to have the kind of Sundays in 2026. And hear me. It'll happen because of these next 21 days. We're going to set the tone and set the pace. And God will respond not to our utility, Judas, but to our devotion. Those kinds of Sundays this year, 52, we're already 75% through, 90% through the first. 51 more after this service concludes. But the kind of Sundays that we go home saying, oh my word, I've never felt anything like that. I've never experienced anything like that. I've never seen anything like that. It's going to be because we pour it out. Sacred prosperity is not measured in accumulation, but in consecration. 2026, a new year. I want to prosper in sacred things. This sacred season, we are challenged to bring our best to God. The first fruits of our year. You may need to start this year by breaking something. Your box. Your alabaster box. How easy it would have been for her box to become a source of pride, fear, or control, or comfort, or self-preservation. But she said, no, I'm breaking that. Prospering in sacred things this year may require breaking something that you've been protecting. Don't miss that. Don't let the devil steal that from you. Break it. Don't protect it. My ego, my pride. Lord, I lay it all down so that my life could be aligned with you. What have I been saving that God is asking me to surrender? What would extravagant devotion look like in my life? I'm not talking about being weird. I'm just talking about putting God first. Holding nothing back, reserving nothing, but giving it all to God. You see, prosperity that pleases God is not a promise of luxury. It's an invitation to alignment. Because when the soul prospers, worship becomes costly. Obedience becomes joyful. Giving becomes worship. Life becomes fragrant. This year, I challenge you, don't just chase success. Chase sacredness. Don't just prosper financially. Prosper spiritually. If you listen to me long enough, I'm going to tell you, chase the business, chase the next level, reach for that. Chase success. It's yours. Prosper financially, but to do all of that at the expense of the sacred would be a travesty. I can do both. I can keep God first. So this sacred season, it's officially underway tomorrow. Listen, I'm not legalistic about this, and I understand some of you don't go back to school until maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, and you're in church today, but you're going to have a little more fun tomorrow. Maybe you got stuff planned with the kids. Do that. Enjoy that, please. Enjoy the family. Prosper as a family. But at some point this week, I challenge you to get involved and to be a part. Find a fast. We'll get you some information. We'll send out email tomorrow that has some more details and different kinds of fast. Those that have been at this a while, you pretty well know what works for you and others. This may be your first time and you're needing clarification. Maybe you want to do a total fast for a day or a couple of days. Maybe you want to do a Daniel fast. Lots of information out there about that. Maybe you want to do a sun up to sundown fast. You're fasting all the daylight hours and basically eating one meal a day. Not legalistic about it, but I also don't want to do this all on my own. I want us to hunger for God together. And I'd love for everyone to find a way to do a food fast. And every year that we announce this, somebody comes. Now, Pastor, listen, I'm this, I'm that. I got it. You know, my doctor said I have to have a cheeseburger every day. I get it. Please, you got your doctor's note. You're good. I'm not policing you. It's not how this works. This is as unto the Lord. It's as unto the Lord. I told you about that man one time. He fasted 40 days and says, the easiest thing I've ever done. What? That just seems like a conundrum. Easiest thing you ever did was fast 40 days? How did you do that? I just drank a gallon of milk every day. Well, there's like 2,400 calories in a gallon of milk. I guess it was easy. Put a little chocolate in that, some strawberry, we good. Find a fast that may mature, it may grow into a social media fast, or maybe you want to start with social media and make your way to the food next week. But over the next 21 days, we're going to find ways to come away, to come apart, to get as close to Him as we possibly can. Some prayer opportunities starting this week with Tuesday. The sanctuary will be open from 6 until 8, and it's come and go. If you can get here for 10 minutes, if you can get here for an hour, if you can spend all of the time, whatever. Come, let's pray. Let's pray together, and let's believe God and know that God is working.